Hi, I'm Danica Johnson.
And I'm Chrysalia Kant.
And we are Champion Chat 360.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Champion Chat 360. Today it's the ladies and a giant man, a huge man of a man we have with us today. So we will get to that in just a second. But Danica, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I just had posing class. It was good. And then I put on my fitness director hat. That was great. And big girl's kicking my ass today. Like, I wish you could warn me. Today, Mom, I'm going to be a bitch. And then I would, like, prepare myself. But she's, like, up in my ribs. She's fancying them. I think she's, like, I don't even know, using them as, like, drumming on them or something.
Maybe it's like she's just trying to do a leg press off of them.
Maybe. Hey, I mean, maybe. Gotta start somewhere, right?
Right.
How you feeling?
Good today. I feel like I just talked to you yesterday, but I know it was on Friday. But today is much better. I haven't really done much or anything except for just around the house kind of stuff. So, yeah, just relaxing most of the day. Do I look, like, relaxed? I've been literally just, like, hanging out doing nothing, so.
You look so comfy. And I love that I can see your dogs in the background still. I love it.
Yeah, it's laundry day, so that's why. That's one of them. Oh, Nate, which we'll introduce in a second. You'll probably hear my dogs barking at some point, but that's the asshole back there. He does all the stupid bad shit, but, yeah. Anyway, so we digress, of course, already. So, let's get into the interview today. So we have Nate. I think, if we almost had a team, this would be our team. Nate would be one of our brothers in huge arms.
That's right.
So, Nate, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
he's a man of little words, ladies and gentlemen. No, he's not. So Nate, why don't you give us a little background about you, starting with kind of what you do, and then we'll kind of get into how you got into all of this world.
So pretty much, my name's Nate Spear, NPC bodybuilder. I just started the NPC this year. I did some OCB shows before that, two of them. I did the main event, and I did the Granite State Open, which is an OCB, but I think it was INBF when I did it. Mm-hmm. Did all my own prep, and then we'll get into it later, obviously. But then that's how I found Andrew when I hopped over the NPC. Just needed some more guidance, I felt like. And yeah, I mean, just sort of, it wasn't really bodybuilding. It was just like weightlifting that I fell in love with, and had a lot of people come up to me and say, hey, you should try bodybuilding, you know what I mean? And so it just sort of clicked, and I thought about it, and probably get into it a little bit later, but my sister was actually an NPC bodybuilder, did USAs.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so genetically, I was sort of always blessed as far as, like, putting on muscle and sort of staying lean.
If you've seen your pictures, genetically, your before pictures, we all would have been like, wait, what?
That's awesome. You know, that's so good that he pointed that out too, because I know that on our show, Matt had mentioned this. If you aren't being approached in the gym, Matt's pretty harsh with this, but if you aren't being approached in the gym or at the grocery store saying, like, dude, you look really good, you should try this out, then you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. But that's awesome that he mentioned that, because mm-hmm. we've talked about this.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool to put some of your pictures up, Nate, of your progression, because it was just, my favorite one is you with your longer hair. That's by far my favorite picture.
When I was like 20.
Yes. Excellent. So let's talk about that. Let's go a little bit into how'd you get into bodybuilding?
So I like keeping it real. So I'll tell you, like, the real story. Pretty much. It was like, I had a drug addiction problem, and I tried actually getting sober again. I sort of went in and out as far as, like, the system and getting, like, clean and sober and going to rehabs, et cetera. Like, you'll hear a lot of stories about other people. It takes a long time sort of to get it in. So this is, like, my 2012. I was at my third rehab, and I tried something different and did, like, a long-term treatment. And so it was a very wise decision now that I look back on it. So I lived in, like, sort of a transitional unit after doing, like, a 30-day, like, in-stay program.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And this was in Keene, New Hampshire. And they introduced us to, they'd bring us to the YMCA down there. So obviously, like, there was weights there, and I'd started lifting and sort of, like, feeling better about myself and just health increasing and just sort of everything coming back as far as, like, health, body fat, all that good stuff, sort of like normal people have.
Yeah.
Because I was pretty sort of beat up at that point, and I started lifting weights, and I was sort of always strong. So, like, when I went, you know, it felt really good, and it was something I was really good at and sort of picked up on quick, so it was sort of easy for me to, like, hold on to it and take off, I guess. So it pretty much started out, and I put on muscle pretty quick as far as like most people, like, because obviously there was other guys that were going to the gym with me that were in the same situation as me, and I was sort of like excelling pretty quick compared to like other people.
Awesome. So going to the gym was part of your program?
Yep. So that they would cool. Bring us to the gym, and just as far as like making us feel healthy and all that good stuff.
That's awesome.
What was it that made it like this was the time that was gonna work for you?
I guess like when I look back on it, it sounds like it'll sound pretty dark, I guess, but like, so all the other times it was like I either lost something like physically or like something bad had happened to me where I was like sort of forced into like trying to get clean, as mm-hmm. far as like, so I went to jail, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I better like straighten my act up, or like, oh, I lost my apartment, I better straighten my act up. And this time it was like a little different. It was like more mentally and like emotionally, I was just like at that point where I was like, seriously, I just didn't want to like live anymore, because I was just waking up and it was like sort of like that everyday's groundhog type thing. It was like I'd wake up sick and I was doing like very bad things to feel better, you know, and it was just sort of on repeat. And it was just like I was waking up and just really didn't want to wake up, I guess. So it was like at that point I called my mom and pretty much told her what was going on, and she's like, yeah, she's like, I know you don't want to go back to rehab, but I think you should. It'd just be like a safe, more like a safe choice at this point, whether you want it or not. It was just like for safety at that point, you know?
That is amazing. That is so awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I didn't know that about you, so I just learned something. That is a huge thing to, you know, get out of it. And that's a lot of times, I mean, you can say drugs, you can say food, you can say bad relationships, but so many times people get stuck in that spot. And a lot of times we talk about it here is how to get the rock moving. It's just so hard to get that rock moving that people are just like, ah, fuck it, I'm not going to do it. But you actually, you know, it took you a little while, which is normal for everyone. And I hope everyone gets that point out of what Nate just said there too, is it didn't happen overnight, which we talk about a lot, but you had that thing that was just like, okay, this is my thing and I'm going to move forward from there. That's amazing. I'm so proud of you. Yeah. I'm proud of you before, but I'm proud of you even more now.
Yeah, and as far as you said, like, you can use that as a tool. Like, now I can use that as a tool as far as like everything else, you know what I'm saying? Like the way you just brought it up. So
yeah, 100%. I talked about it like with my really bad phase I went through after my first wedding was called off. And actually, it's really not that it's anything like what you were going through, but in, you know how on your time, like on this day on Facebook, like I go back and it's been around this time like a while ago, and I was like, shit. But I was like, yeah, look how good I am now. I'm not this. So that's amazing. Good for you. Now look where you are. Man.
That's awesome.
So you went from working out and you're just lifting weight. How did you make the transition into your first show?
So I guess I was just like excelling at putting on muscle and just like getting stronger. And I finally got out of the transitional living house and got my own apartment with a roommate who is also, also like part of AA. So like I used that program to help me with everything else. So we were living together. And I just obviously kept going to the gym because I felt good and I was excelling at it. And I played sports younger too, so it was sort of like I always had that competitive side in me too. Yeah. So it was like something to also, that sort of kept me going because it was like having that competitive nature. And so I always like competing as far as like when I was younger, as far as like I played a lot of basketball and soccer. And so I was going to the gym like pretty regularly, and like I said, like people were coming up to me like saying, oh yeah, you should compete. And then I was sort of like thinking, it was sort of in the back of my head, and then I knew my sister had competed like before, so it was like even more like of a confidence boost, like, oh well, my sister did it type thing, like, you know. What I mean, like it was almost like a motivation,
yeah,
as and like saying that she could do it, maybe I could do it too.
Yeah.
So then I was sort of like looking into shows. It just sort of all like happened, I guess. It's hard to like, you know what I mean? It was just like, yeah, I guess I found the show in New Hampshire, the Grand Estate Open, and was just like, honestly, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no help, no one, like, I didn't have a coach, and I was like, had no idea how to diet. And literally, I started at 10 weeks out, and I was, like, eating cans of tuna with, like, mustard. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, protein, no carbs. Like, yeah, like, I need to get lean and ripped and have no idea, like, I needed carbs to, like, keep my glycogen full and all this, you know what I mean, all the stuff that we know now. And, like, I started getting leaner. And then I met, luckily I did some posing with, like, this is, I was, like, so fresh. I did some posing with the promoter of the show. You guys know Laura, I'm sure.
Oh, I sure do.
Yeah. And, so she did actually help me out a little bit, though, because I didn't really know anyone, you know?
Yeah, she was actually my first posing coach, too, Nate, if it makes you feel any better.
Yeah, so, and she actually, like, wrote me a little diet, and she was, like, sort of looked at, like, what I was doing and was like, what the hell? Like, she's like, you look really good, though, but I don't know how. Like, I don't know how you still have muscle type thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, wow, I actually got to eat all this food, mm-hmm. and I can get, like, lean, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And so, I mean, respectably, I got second place out of like 10 other guys in the novice class. And I was pretty happy with that. And I started really, obviously, like most people, most competitors, that first time on stage, especially if you do well. I mean, you sort of like get the buzz, I guess, you know what I mean? And you're like, wow, this was awesome. This is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, as soon as I did my first show, I knew it was something that I'd be like, keep doing, you know?
That's awesome. Did you ever reach out to your sister?
Yeah, it was even my sister.
Yes. I pretty much, she sort of has like followed my journey, but unfortunately she lives out all the way in California.
Okay.
Which is actually pretty cool because like, so she was like back in like the 90s, mm-hmm. so where everyone like would move out to California to start their bodybuilding journey.
Yeah. Because
uh-huh. they didn't have social media and all that stuff, so like everyone was like only in certain sections for mm-hmm. bodybuilding. So she has a pretty cool story too, like as far as like old school, like, yeah, I moved out to California to start my bodybuilding journey, et cetera. Yeah. So that's what sort of got her out there. Unfortunately, that sort of makes us more distant. Mm-hmm. But right. So she's just sort of, we've always contacted each other through like phone and we'll see each other like every couple of years. But
and she's older.
Yeah, she's quite a bit older than me because she's like my dad's daughter. Okay. We have different moms.
Okay.
So my dad was a little bit older than my mom. So.
Oh, don't worry. We have his, hers, and our families here too. So don't worry. So would you say you looked up to her even though she was away?
Yeah, for sure. Because I remember also like even before I started bodybuilding, she would come back home to New Hampshire, and she was like so out of place because she was like a bodybuilder, and this was like I was younger, and like there's no female bodybuilders around New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And then she would come back home with like a big bodybuilder boyfriend or whatever, and I'd be like, holy crap, like yeah. you're huge type thing, you know? So that always stuck with me, and I was always like, yeah, that's pretty intriguing and pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. So then you did the main event?
Yeah, so I pretty much just took like a normal like year off, or okay. well, I did the first one was a fall show, and then the second one was a fall show, and I did the OCB main event. Sort of learned a little bit more, but still prepped myself and probably still did like way too much cardio and probably not enough food. We'll get into that obviously with it, meeting up with Andrew and changing my whole philosophies around. But I sort of like with the main event, I looked really good that 4 weeks out and then depleted myself to like losing muscle and mm-hmm. flattening out and trying to recover and not really looking the best I probably could have. I still placed pretty respectably. I did a third in an open, so it was out of like 10 guys, so it was still pretty good, I guess.
Yeah. And is that where you met Andrew?
No.
Not the big man yet.
Yeah, who's bigger? Wait, let's ask this question. Who's bigger? Just kidding.
You know it. You know what? And we can, like, I'll slowly give a tidbit, but Andrew loves Nate to death.
Yeah.
So, like, whenever we're discussing, like, how are our clients doing and stuff, Andrew's always like, all hands down, give it up to Nate. Like, I might be taller, but this dude's got it. And so... Whose dick is bigger?
Oh,
Nate's
Jesus.
Apparently.
You know what's funny is I was gonna ask, like, if you guys were on stage, you guys would be in different classes, right, Nate? He's a super heavyweight and you're a heavyweight, is that what it is? Or
yeah, for right now.
Yeah. Yeah, for right now.
Coming for Andrew, though, so hopefully he's listening to this.
He'll listen to it. He'll be like, fuck. But I was like, I wonder what it would be like for them both to be on stage, because
yeah.
I know I've gone against my clients before, and I know he has too, but it'd be interesting to see you two go against each other, yeah. just because you guys are also so close. But
well, I think that's why I took the year off.
Oh, Jesus, yes! Yes, that is awesome. Oh, man. So tell us, how did you meet Andrew and get started with him?
All right. So, yeah, I took a whole year off, like sort of like Andrew did actually this year. Like, I mean, like a whole year off as far as like not competing every year. And so I'm really good friends with actually Rachel's brother.
Oh,
okay. So we like lift together and stuff like that. And he was telling me about Andrew and how he's competing in bodybuilding, been doing it for a while and coaches people. And at this point, I knew I needed a coach. coach, but I was like doing, I was trying to do it as smart as possible. I didn't want to pick like someone that was just like a professional bodybuilder or like, you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, I won a bunch of shows type thing. Mm-hmm. I wanted someone with like some educational background, sort of like a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And is a good bodybuilder, and I wanted someone fairly close to, honestly. It'd just be nice to, like, I think, to see my coach in person every now and then. Mm-hmm. So Andrew was, like, in the back of my head already at this point, and then I saw him. This was the year that him and Matt did Vermont show, which was, like, last year. So I went to that show, saw them, thought Andrew looked phenomenal. Then I was intrigued more. And then he did the Cutler Classic right after that, and I saw him there, and obviously I still thought he, like, looked amazing. And then we all went out to dinner after, and I was actually introduced to Andrew and Rachel, and then we went out to dinner, and me and Andrew like sat there and I pretty much picked his brain, you know, to see like what his responses would be. And at this point I knew I was like sort of looking at him as like trying to see if he could coach me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he thought the same, but I was just sort of like asking him a lot of questions, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. And we sort of hit it off, you know, like I think me and him are pretty similar as far as like very down to earth, like humble guys, and just sort of like confident in ourselves where we don't have to like be overzealous or anything like that. And we just sort of hit it off, and then I sort of like figured out, like, it just sort of clicked, and I just sort of asked him about like coaching me. And so he gave me his email, and we started off from there. So the Cutler Classic would be when we first made initial contact, I guess, last year.
Awesome. What were some questions that you had for him? Because I think that's so interesting. One of the things that I needed to know about Andrew before I decided to work with him was that he was able to keep in mind my diabetes and my health, and that was important to me. I didn't want him to just be like a meathead.
Yeah.
Like, I needed him to, like, keep my health in check. So that was me interrogating right. him. What was, like, your thing?
The biggest thing that really like caught my ear, I guess you'd say, is I knew he was doing like 3 shows or something, and that was like baffling to me. Mm-hmm. Because like when I prepped myself, I couldn't imagine doing more than 1 show.
Uh-huh.
Just because I burnt myself out so much. And I asked him like how he felt after doing, like, he did the Vermont show, and I think the Cutler was like a month apart, and I asked him how he felt, and he said he felt amazing. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? And he was describing to me, you know, he was eating a lot of food, and he wasn't doing much cardio. And I was like, really, at that point, I was like, what the hell's going on, you know? And very intrigued. And then he was telling me who he worked with too, as in like John Meadows, and he's worked with Dante Trudell. And I knew those guys were like sort of like the best in the business, very old school,
right.
Very respected guys. So I guess like the thing that sort of caught my ear was just like his diet and the way he went about everything like that. Because I knew for me, my downfall before was like doing way too much. Like, I always thought I had to do more cardio. I thought I had to drop more calories, you know, to get like lean. And sort of he had like more of a science behind it as far as not having to do that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I did a lot of cardio too before Andrew, and I cut my calories pretty low. With Andrew, my calories never got that low, to be honest.
Yeah.
Chemical. Nice. So you started with Andrew. Clearly he cut down your cardio a little. gave you more food. What else did you learn anything like big from Andrew that through this time that you guys have been working that's kind of changed your philosophy since where you had started from?
Definitely my training, because I was like always sort of like a balls to the wall type of guy, like train for 2 hours. I mean, I still train with a lot of volume, but as far as like certain body parts and how they can respond, he's taught me a lot. Like, we really brought up my legs a lot this past year, and I think just as far as like very simple things, we've switched up my stance and like how to like target certain areas more, where I was like more quad dominant. And we sort of brought up more abductors and hamstrings just by switching a few things up, and maybe like a little less volume as we get closer to the show, just so my legs don't deplete so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just like mostly with him, it was just like the diet. He sort of just changed my whole perspective, and same, I guess, yeah, just like food, I guess.
What was like the biggest change from like the day one? So you'd started a meal plan with him, obviously.
Right.
Right. And what was the biggest change? Like, when you looked at it, were you like, holy crap, what is this?
I guess, I don't know. Andrew actually, like, when I first started working with him, I sort of thought he was actually pretty conservative.
Okay.
Is the word I would use, I guess. And I sort of looked at it, and it seemed to me pretty basic and simple. I was looking, I guess I thought I was, like, maybe thought it was going to be a little bit more, like
some secret pill?
Yeah, like, dramatic or, like, something, like, crazy. But it just seemed pretty basic. And
were you happy about that?
Yeah.
Like, you were happy probably that you didn't have to eat tuna out of a can.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, so it was just, I guess, I don't know, just for me, it was just, like, having someone pretty much tell me what to do, I guess.
Yeah.
It's sometimes it could just be like that easy, you know?
Yeah.
Because mentally, it's just for me, sometimes it's just like, oh, I have to change something, you know, where we don't really change much, honestly. Because with me and Andrew, when we work together, it's just I seem to respond pretty well. Like, there's no sense in changing anything if we're responding. So.
Exactly.
And whereas before I would just be like, oh, I must change something, you know? So I guess that's the biggest thing. I guess I know, like, because I know other clients that work with him, and it's just, he's not cookie cutter at all. So I know what I'm doing, like, not many other people are doing.
Wait, I'm not doing the same thing as you? I don't get it.
I don't understand.
Or Danica did, because I'm doing the same thing.
Well, that's why Andrew's getting late at night. Why am I getting too cheap? Why is Nate getting too cheap meals? What's going on?
Andrew, I don't understand. Why am I growing a human and Nate isn't?
Andrew, I don't understand why I can't eat a whole cow. I don't get it.
Wait a minute.
He would kill us if that was what we are like. By the way, dot, dot, dot.
Right.
Why does Nate get to do it and I don't?
I know, and it's not fair.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the difference between where you went from natural to, well, let's just say it nicely. You went from OCB to NPC. So talk a little bit about that with us for you, if you're comfortable with that.
Yeah, of course. I wasn't really sure if you guys were, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it. We talked about it before. Andrew's talked about it before.
Okay.
We don't use it because we're drug tested.
Right.
So I think it's really interesting for people to know. Because I think there's such a stigma around it, too, that they think, oh, they're taking all these drugs and it's terrible for you. So I think it's really good to have people who have done it the right way, because that's a huge thing that people don't talk about.
Right.
And talk about how it's not as, it shouldn't be as demonized as it is. I don't want to say it shouldn't, but because people have different stance, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's cheating, it's whatever. Well, it's cheating if you do it in our league, for sure, because we're drug tested and we're polygraphed. So even if you are someone who somehow lies on the polygraph and then you do a great cycle off so you don't have it in your piss, that's cheating.
There's plenty of those.
Right. I know. It makes me crazy. I don't even want to get into this. I talked to Danica about it the other day. I was just like, you know what? It just drives me nuts that, like, we in the natural organization have, like, a polygraph, and some people get to go through the polygraph and not even fucking pass. And then they can, I know that people pass piss tests because you just need to cycle off at a certain time. But,
right.
Like, that just drives me crazy. And then I was like, hey, I won natural with no problems. So, whoop, whoop. Now, if I went to NPC, I might change my mind. But, so talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, if I would have known that, we probably could have got in the beginning. But,
oh, no, that's
I mean, that's another reason why, obviously, I chose Andrew, because I didn't want to go in. So when I switched from OCB, I didn't want to go in, like, unguided, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I wanted someone that was knowledgeable and was pretty smart about it. And then another thing, too, was it took, which I guess was the best thing for me, was I stayed natural for a while, and I sort of built a good physique. So my symmetry was all, like, put together. So any advice I could give anyone that's, like, up in the air or whatever, my advice is always train natural first. Try to get the best out you can. And then if you do, then you do. And obviously do your research. But, like, I see a lot of guys that just sort of, they get right on as far as gear. And, you know, their symmetry is a little whack because, you know, stuff grows quicker than others. And
right.
You're not, like, fully put together. And you don't know how to train naturally and eat naturally, etc. So, yeah, that's why I got with Andrew. And then I wanted to switch. For me, like, bodybuilding is, like no one knows who Cleveland Thomas is, or no one knows who Siobhan Cunningham is, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, but everyone knows who Phil Heath is, or, you know what I mean, like, Jay Cutler, you know. And I knew, like, at this point, when I decided to switch over, I knew my genetic potential was, like, pretty decent, and, like, I had a good idea, you know. It wasn't just like, oh, yeah, I just want to be, like, the biggest guy. It was like, I think I can take this thing pretty far, you know what I mean, as far as, like, bodybuilding, and there's actually, like, there might be something here. And I knew, obviously, I couldn't get much further without, like, hopping on gear, unfortunately, but that's just bodybuilding, you know what I mean, and if you want to be a professional and make a living at it. So that's sort of why I went with Andrew, so he could guide me the right way and we could do everything the right way. And that's another reason, is everything that we've done so far has been very minimal as far as, like, what people would probably think and what people and what I'm actually doing. So everything that we've actually done up to this point has been very minimal as far as, like, most people or others people say they're doing.
That's a good point. People say they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, we're not doing any Boston Lloyd stacks or anything. So everything is, and then not only that, we get blood work done. Andrew's a big advocate on that, and he pushes me to get it done. So
Good. So what was, when you were making that decision to go from, like, okay, if I want, I know I have potential in this industry and I do want to get to like this top level, and in order for me to get to this top level, I am going to have to use some gear. Was there any thought in your mind too, I am going to have to use some gear and I do have an addictive behavior? And did that come into like your thought process of, is this something that I want my coach to be aware of?
Oh, that's sure. Yeah. I just forgot to bring it up, but yeah, that was like probably the biggest concern. Was obviously before I was an IV user, so that was huge. And it was always in the back of my mind, like I sort of knew sooner or later I was gonna get on gear, but I was like always like very hesitant as far as like, I guess, is this sober, am I clean, right, type thing, and right, like mentally I'm like, am I gonna be okay with this, like am I gonna be able to like say, because obviously that's something to be proud of, like I'm clean, I'm sober. And then it's also can be very contradicting as far as like people that aren't aware of like this like lifestyle or that are in like AA or something, and like, oh, you're on gear, so you must be, you're not clean, you know, so that sort of takes away from that nostalgia of like, right, this is what I've accomplished.
Right.
And then not only that, like obviously being scared of relapse because of, I guess, like using IV.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely a concern.
I feel like it's kind of like, it's, I guess, a little bit judgy. Like, you can have cigarettes all day long and donuts at AA, but having something that's, you know, making sure that, yes, you're adding a supplement to your, you're adding something to the body that's not necessarily there, but you're still doing it in a healthy range because your blood work, your cigarettes and your tobacco is still an addiction. Just right. Like, so, I don't know. I just think they're picking their judginess, what they're going to judge on. I digress.
Luckily, I was, like, okay with it. And another thing that was, like, worrisome is obviously, like, oh, like, am I going to get depressed? Am I going to become suicidal? Like, you know, all the stuff that you said before, like, the stigma sort of behind it. Like, because I wasn't very educated on it. So, like, is this going to happen to me? You know, am I going to go crazy? Whatever, you know? And, like, honestly, I haven't really changed, like, as far as, like, my attitude or, like, anger. Like, I'm not, like, you know, like, going crazy.
Right,
you know, like,
right,
all that stuff you sort of hear about. I guess from what my understanding is, like, if you're already like predisposed to something, it can like sort of excel it. So, you know, like if you're already like a psychopath and you're like hop on some gear, you might be more of a psychopath, I guess, you know.
So
that was always pretty mellow, as like same sort of like attitude before, you know. So like nothing really, like my girlfriend honestly didn't even know, like when I first got on. I obviously told her because I would never want, I don't know, that's what, another thing is like, I don't want to, if I'm living with someone and like sharing a relationship, like it's hard to say something, but I'm like very like open and honest, you know. And if you like don't like it or like are you gonna judge me, then like that's cool, peace, you know, like that's just the way, I mean, you know what I mean? So I'd rather just be open and honest. And like I told her, and it was obviously sort of hard for her to adapt at first because like that stigma and like the uneducation, you know, a lot of people don't have the education to sort of know. And they just like hear the horror stories, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And usually a lot of the horror stories are like with recreational drugs or like something else. There's like someone has a mental illness, you know, and then there's like someone's on gear. So, oh, it must be the steroids, you know, type thing.
Never mind that line of coke they just sniffed. So you kind of let us down a road. Your significant other is not in the fitness world. She doesn't compete. So how is that for you guys?
So far it's been really good.
There's a smirk there, by the way.
Like she's been like super supportive, and like luckily she's like, we're pretty similar as far as like she's very mellow, easygoing. She's not like always like texting me like when I'm at the gym or like, because a lot of times I work like a 12-hour shift and I go to the gym and like I'm very busy obviously with the bodybuilding thing, and she's very easygoing as far as that goes. I think like this is just like my opinion, like obviously she might listen or whatever, but I just think sometimes it might be hard for a female that might not be in like that competitive nature, and they see like other girls that might be like, well, bikini girls or whatever. Around me, and like the more like I get in the bodybuilding scene, there's obviously going to be more, you know, like Instagram and all that stuff, and like people being
following
like,
you,
and all that stuff sort of comes to the territory. Sure, you guys can relate, you know, like weirdos like hitting you up, or you know, just being like, you know, the whole like
creeps,
fanboy stuff, whatever. You know?
Totally, Matt embraces it. I'll show him like messages that I get, and he's like, really, like that's a really bad pickup line, or they need to try this one, like, because we think it's funny.
Yeah,
I think it's, and you know, Nate touches on a good thing too. It does come with the territory, and we'll talk about like success and stuff and what that means for Nate. But as you kind of grow within an industry and you become well known in an industry, that side does come out, and you need to have like a very solid, confident relationship and secure relationship, and your significant other kind of has to understand it. And I know I've met your girlfriend, fiance?
Girlfriend.
She is so confident, and that, like, I'm intimidated by her, so.
No, we're pretty lucky. We have a very, like, I think, trust, like, we've never, like, had any questions or doubt in our mind, you know?
Yeah.
As, like, this is what we want, blah, blah, blah. And
that's awesome.
Like, I've never had to go through her phone. She's never had to go through my phone. Like, all those horror stories you hear. And, like, I think we're just, like, super just trustworthy until that obviously gets broken. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how it should be. Until there's any, like, until something happens, there should always be a trust in a relationship, or else it's not really going to get very far, you know?
And when you're backstage, you're not, I mean, you could probably see a butt walk by, but you're just like, yeah, just another butt.
Yeah.
Or you could have someone like me being like, I don't know, Nate, you might have a good bikini butt, like you might be. Oh man. So a little bit about your way forward. So we're really proud of you because you've been kicking ass. So tell us a little bit about your accomplishments so far and then your goals moving forward. I want you to brag about yourself, basically, is what I want to say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is obviously my first year in the NPC, and me and Andrew sort of came up with a game plan as far as, like, starting out small and, like, working our way up. Like, we both believe that's the way you should do it. So we started out at a pretty small show. Connecticut was the first show we did this year. Montanari Brothers put on a show in April. Went in as a heavyweight. Won my class, won the overall, so we felt pretty good about that. And we already had the Vermont show lined up, which was a week after in April. And same thing, we went in, won heavyweights, won overall. That show I thought was actually pretty good. As far as, like, competition is pretty good. And then we were sort of, like, up in the air about doing the Cutler. I guess Andrew wasn't up in the air. I was in my head as far as, like, this is a bigger show, like, doubting myself a little bit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Andrew pretty much, like, pulled the trigger for me. And so we went in and did that show, and I surprised myself and I won the heavyweight and the overall of that show as well. And then we sort of knew we were ready for, at that point, I was already registered for Junior USAs because we sort of like felt like the ball was rolling in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that was obviously going to be a huge thing because it was in South Carolina. There was like travel, like flying. So bringing food, all that stuff. It's a little bit different as far as like preparation. So then, yeah, I mean, honestly, that show was like, I was like happy if I got first call outs, you know, like that type of thing. Like, this is a pretty big deal. And then we went down there and I won my class in the heavyweight class. And that was like pretty huge for me. Like, it's like my first national show. And it was pretty crazy. It was like surreal. So, and then, yeah, I mean, we were pretty much like, I thought we were going to wrap it up sort of like for the year.
We all did too, by the way.
So it was sort of, it was like, yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool because honestly, like we felt like we could have had a shot at the overall too. It was pretty close. I don't really like, I mean, the ball falls in the way it does. Like, that's another thing. If you're a bodybuilder or physique competitor, you better be prepared to lose, whether you think you have the best physique and everyone tells you have the best physique on that day or not. That's just the way it goes. And if you're not prepared for that, then you're probably in the wrong sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
great point.
Because there's days where you're going to, like, everyone's going to be like, yeah, you won that show and you didn't win the show. And you're going to be like, you can either get really pissy and upset about it and make Facebook posts about it, or you can move on and get better, you know?
I love it.
I love it.
Man, so, we just talked about that the other day.
Yeah, so luckily I have, like, the right mindset, so I didn't really get too upset about it. I mean, yeah, it sucked, but I got over it, like, the next day, and I just used that as, like, training, you know what I mean, fuel for the fire, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I looked at the other competitor and said, well, what does he have that I don't, you know? And I just was realistic with myself, so that's what I wanted to work on. It sort of gave me, like, some motivation instead of, like, resting on my laurels and be like, oh, yeah, you know, I look great, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I can always look better. What can I bring up, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we started, well, we pretty much finished that show, and then me and Andrew were sort of bouncing ideas off as far as, like, what's, like, doing another national show and, like, It's pretty scary just to think about it, you know, because we pretty much figured out we were going to do NPC Nationals, which is like, honestly, it's probably the biggest amateur show around in the NPC. Yeah, so it's like scary. Like, I don't know, for me. So that's what we're preparing for right now. We're like 7 weeks out. Everything seems to be going pretty smoothly. It's been a little bit harder for me, I think, mentally than the other shows. As far as like just work stuff going on and just like real life stuff, uh-huh. Everything's not like going as smoothly as before, whereas like nothing bad was happening. Not that there's like anything horrible happening, but just like, you know, bumps in the roads, mm-hmm. yep. type stuff, like just like normal adult stuff. Whereas before it was just like everything was just flowing and nothing was a problem, I guess, you know.
No roadblocks.
Yeah.
It makes it worth it more.
It does. End.
Yeah.
So you had an off season.
Which was like 2 weeks.
But I know our listeners want to know how much cow you eat, but what does like your off season, I guess, look like? And what does off season mean to you?
Like I've always been, no matter what, even before I started working with Andrew, is like I always train just as hard, if not harder, in the off season because I look at it as an opportunity to grow. Mm-hmm. And like that's, I mean, I'm a bodybuilder, so I want to build muscle, you know. So obviously I see a lot of people slack off in the off season, I think. And like that's just not me. I don't know. I've always trained hard like year round no matter what. And I think that's obviously gotten me pretty far. And honestly, the food doesn't change that much. It's just, I guess, like a little bit more different as far as like, okay, what am I gonna, I can switch my carbs out a little bit, maybe like do some like, I did some red potatoes, you know, like just, you know, just like different stuff. Not so much like X, Y, and Z every day, you know, just like sort of replacing different stuff out, trying different stuff, like doing like some flank steak when I want, and, you know, still eating very good. Calories, probably a little over 4,000 calories, so nothing.
Nothing too crazy.
So you don't have to, you can say portion sizes if you want, because I know actually Andrew doesn't mind this at all. Yeah. He puts out your macronutrients a lot. But what is like a typical day's worth of food for you now?
So right now I'm eating like about 500 carbs.
Okay.
We just dropped actually some food this week a little bit, so.
I think I'm sorry, but I think I ate 500 carbs
in a week.
9 months.
Jesus. So my cardio right now is this is a pretty comical one. I have a 20-minute fasted dog walk in the morning. That's my cardio right now.
Not too fast. Whoa, don't pull the leash. We got to keep it down.
But fats are always pretty low far as like 60 grams of fats. Protein's about 320 grams of protein. So I think right now, like, calories are like 3,800.
And what are like your go-to food choices?
I really like rice just because it digests really easily for me. I get a lot of, especially when I get closer to a show, my digestion can be like sort of funky as far as like too much fiber, like too much oatmeal, too much broccoli. As far as that stuff goes, can really like upset me. Sweet potatoes. So we just do like one sweet potato, one oatmeal, and then we do a lot of jasmine and cream rice.
Yeah,
just seems to really like digest really easily.
And any protein supplements?
Oh yeah, we do just doing like one shake right now.
Yeah.
Post-workout, well, I guess I do a protein pre-workout too, but it's just mixed up with like, the cream rice. Yeah.
And berries and stuff.
Yeah so
it's yummy.
Yeah, I always put my peanut butter in it because I had peanut butter before, so
yeah,
ours is like 1/16 of the size of his.
Yes,
but that's okay.
No, it's big
still
deal.
The two bites are still well worth it.
He'd be like, what is this? Like, if we ever get together again, we're gonna put all of our food back together, like side by side again. he is twice our size though, Danica, so
I know, we have to remember that.
If I, like, I'm going to take a picture of you guys, like, at some point, I think, during this whole thing, so I can just put the two of you next to each other. Like, just for visuals, Danica's shoulder is almost at, like, Nate's elbow. And Nate's shoulder is about the size of Danica's head, so just, you know.
No big deal.
No big deal. So, we know where you kind of are and where... and what your food is now, but what's your plan moving forward? What do you want to be when you grow up, Nate?
I mean, obviously I'm shooting to be a IFBB pro, mm-hmm. Bodybuilder, but my goal is like, Everyone sort of like, I think, wants the pro card right away. And for me, honestly, if I didn't get a pro card at Nationals, I wouldn't be disappointed. Because for me and my personal outlook is, if I win a pro card, I want to be able to compete as a pro. Mm-hmm. So that means I should look like a pro. You know what I mean? So if I would rather win it almost next year, where I'm like a super heavyweight, look like a pro, can actually go and compete as a pro. Instead of winning it this year and having to take 2 years off, not compete, because I love to compete, obviously, because, I mean, I'm doing, like, 6 shows or something this year, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's something I love to do. So why would I want to go win a pro card and then sit around for, like, 2 years and not even be able to, like, compete, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So you would stay in the 250 range and not drop down to try to do like a 212?
Nah, I wouldn't be able to make 212.
I don't understand it. Sorry, so for those who don't know, there's pretty much two opens, which means anyone is going to compete in the IFBB for men's bodybuilding. You're either a bodybuilder who is 212. Or you're basically, like, in the 150s plus. Would you say that's about right?
Well, over 212.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah.
But yeah, you would like
to be competitive.
Like yeah. So. Yeah, so, like, honestly, I guess it depends what you look like, too, as far as, like, your muscle. Because some guys, they look a lot bigger than they might weigh. But, I mean, realistically, for me to be competitive as a pro, I'd probably have to be, like, 250 on stage.
Uh-huh.
So that's about, like, 25 more pounds, probably.
So. Is that going to go in your butt, too? Like,
well, I'm known for my glutes, you know. So.
Oh, that's right. Glutes might not win it for bodybuilding as much as for bikini. I'm sorry. I get it all mixed up.
Glute show.
Awesome. One of the things that I really want to talk about with you is how humble you are. So we made you brag about yourself, obviously. But... You're very humble and you're winning and you're doing a great job. So we talked about this a little bit last week about the difference between confidence and cocky, and we're going to talk about it in a later podcast, but how do you stay grounded?
I think just like my experience with life and just like what I told you guys about, like the trials and tribulations I had. And like, for me, it's just like have everything so fresh in my head, just knowing that I could lose everything in a blink of an eye, you know, because I never feel like, for me, like I know like drug addiction is like something that'll always be with me, as far as like I can never like rest on like my accomplishments. And you know, I could mess up and get high tomorrow, you know what I mean, type thing. And I need to, like, be wary of that. So I think it just makes me more humble as far as, like, I can lose everything in a blink of an eye is the way I look at stuff, you know. And or I can get injured, you know, that too. And, like, I like to be prepared. So, like, bodybuilding, what it doesn't dictate my life as far as, like, recovery too. Because say I got hurt and I wouldn't have bodybuilding, right. Like, what am I going to do, like, kill myself, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Some people are just like so bodybuilding orientated, whereas like I want to be able to have something to fall back on as far as just like being able to live, you know? Because I think some people, if they got injured or something, like they'd be so depressed and like it would just be like over for them, you know?
Mm-hmm. What are your other things?
Just like I don't have a lot of stuff, but as far as bodybuilding, but I just my girlfriend, you know,
yeah.
My dog and stuff like that. And it would just be like I wouldn't know how to live life without bodybuilding, I guess, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think I don't know if I'd be okay with it, but I would just rather be prepared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, that anything can happen.
Yeah.
And I know bodybuilding is a short-term thing, you know what I mean, because I'm 30 now, so you got to think, I mean, that's like 10 years probably if I'm lucky.
So being able to know that, Christy says this a lot, but this is part of your life, it is not your entire life,
right?
Yeah
and
awesome.
It's important to have that distinction, because it's a phase, like we talked about. So a couple quick, like, little questions that we'd say. What's one thing, if you could change anything, that you change about the industry today of bodybuilding or shows?
Well, even though I'm not a natural competitor anymore, I think you guys will appreciate this. I think they should change the natural, because I'm still, like, a fan of natural organizations. Mm-hmm. I think they need to change it so you can't just go and win a pro card, because I think that's stupid, honestly. That you can just be a freaking pro tomorrow, like, because you've never competed. I just see way too many people getting these, like, piece of paper pro cards, and, like, they don't look like a pro physique, you know what I mean? And I think they, like, and then they go run around and say, oh, I'm a WNBF pro, and I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, nothing really. And it takes away from people like you that are like, I mean, you guys have, like, won Yortons, you know what I mean? And then you got someone that's, like, doing nothing, and they're, like, a pro, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think it needs to be, like, more, like, nationally qualify and all that stuff, like the NPC. I think it just, I don't know, it's too bad, because I'm a fan of natural bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like it's so watered down now, and like promoters are just doing whatever they want, and like organizations are letting them, and it's not even like the organization's running the show. I've been to a lot of natural shows, and it seems like it's sort of ruining it, honestly.
Yeah, this year's been a little bit of a fuck show for natural, that's for sure. I definitely have got a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth this year.
I think when they took away, or the IFPA thing sort of messed up a lot of stuff when that happened, but...
Yeah. What does health mean to you? What's health and fitness mean to you?
I mean, I don't know. I think in my opinion, bodybuilding isn't really the healthiest thing. So.
Thank you for saying it. I was hoping that you were going to say it. I was going to lead with that, but I was like, let's see what he says.
I love it.
I mean, like, and like, not only that, like, I think... When my off season comes around, for me personally, I think I need to start doing more cardio, not for like burning fat or anything like that, just for like overall health.
Yeah.
And cardiovascular for like what it's meant to do. You know what I mean? As far as like taking supplements to, and not necessarily make me more healthier, but like sort of like combat like other stuff. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. We're going to get you some Giga Biloba for your mind.
Yeah.
Say John's word.
But I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me. Like, I don't really look at outsiders look at us as being like healthy. But for me personally, I don't think there's anything really too healthy about bodybuilding, especially like when it's to the extremes, like what I am doing, even in the off season. So like I'm trying to, you know, people are gaining like 30 pounds and then they're dropping down, and like how healthy is really that, you know? Right. And then like we need to get down to single digit body fat percentage, which is not healthy at all. Like,
right.
And then there's obviously the drug part of it, and that's a whole nother ball game, you know what I mean? So yeah.
That's really good that you're aware of that. And I wish more people were aware of it. Like had, yes, I'm doing this. It does not mean that I am the epitome of health. And just because I'm doing it, like, I'm well aware of the fact that, like, this is not the healthiest thing that I could be doing. Mm. And I think sometimes, especially from an outsider looking in, they might think, oh, my God, that's exactly how I want to look, or that's exactly what I want to do, not realizing that, like, not the healthiest thing to do. Yeah, that's got to be kind of like a mind fuck, too, because you're doing it, right? Like, it's like, if I touch this fire, it's going to burn me, but I'm just going to continue to touch it and get burned. But I'm going to do it knowing that it's going to burn me. Like, that's hard. But you have to be able to say, like, and I know what I'm going to do afterwards. Right. Like, I have set into place what I'm going to do to help improve myself. I have a really good coach that thinks the same way, and my health is of importance to me. And I'm sorry, but Matt Johnson, I hope you heard that he's going to incorporate cardio into his regimen for cardiovascular strength, because our heart is important too.
Thank God.
Thank God.
I'm gonna let Mike hear that too. I just said something like that because he was playing football. He plays football every Sunday. And he's like, yeah, I kind of feel like tight and stuff. I'm like, maybe you should drink some water, you know, instead. You know, I don't know. Something. Anyway, so another, we'll go a little bit more deeper question, then we'll go to we'll do rapid fire some of the, because the feed questions are clearly much better than our questions. If you've gone through the feed on the Facebook.
Do you
have a favorite book or a favorite podcast or whatever, something that helps keep you motivated or anything like that?
I mean, obviously, I'm a huge fan of bodybuilding, which a lot of bodybuilders aren't, which is weird. Like, but I listen to like a lot of RX Muscle podcasts and Geared Up podcasts and all that good stuff. And then honestly, like, I'm not like a huge reader, but there are a lot of like good books that, I mean, I haven't really gotten into for a little bit. But as far as like, I'm not a Buddhist, but there's like actually some good Buddhism books out there as far as like spirituality and the way to like live life. I think there's a lot of people that like need that kind of stuff as far as like direction and like letting stuff go and just the way to cope with life. Especially like I've managed a lot of people at work, so I see that like a lot of like people aren't really built for that. You know what I mean? As far as like how to deal with the right way. You know what I mean? As far as not affecting you emotionally and all that stuff. So I would attribute that to like when I got sober too, like AA and the 12 steps. Mm-hmm. It's like almost like principles to life. Just sort of like helping you grow up and maturing and sort of like how do I deal with like X, Y, and Z, you know, as far as the right way, you know.
Yeah.
I agree. The Geared Up podcast is why we do this, because I used to listen to Geared Up myself.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, we should really have that from a female point of view, because they're hilarious. Love them.
Yeah.
and they're on the unnatural side. And I was like, well, there should be some ladies talking, because when I was looking for podcasts for, you know, show stuff or just this lifestyle, it was hard to find one. And I was like, well, we're going to make one. So
nice.
We have that one too. So I think we can end on something, like, since it's October. And Ken, they want to know how much it would cost to get you into a Tarzan suit. You know, maybe for Halloween, maybe not Halloween, but and that's one of the...
I just want to note that the person that asked this could potentially give you a good, decent amount.
Yeah, so. I would keep your prices high, Nate.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I do get a lot of requests, so I have to get in line.
It's gonna be...
And would you potentially sell those trunks after?
Oh, that's so good.
It's a strange world, that's for sure.
I love it. The best is, like, when we ask questions, like, girl questions or a question for a female coming on, we don't get these kind of questions.
You
I don't know why.
Questions. It's stupid.
And then we'll have to go through my inbox and I'll get you a lot of good stuff, good content.
Yes.
A guy the other day asked me if I could crush him, and I was like, I don't even know what that means.
There was
I don't want to interpret that.
Oh my god, that's so funny and gross. There was one on here that I laughed pretty hard at, was how much is your cam work? Like, how much do you cost for your live cam shows? We'll just leave it at that.
That is hilarious. So another question that I do want to ask, though, what is something that we would find, like, interesting about you, or that people really don't know about you? That they'd be like, huh, I would have never guessed that.
Well, I guess if you don't know me, like, a weird thing that I get a lot is I'm actually a restaurant general manager for a pizza place.
Oh, yes, I forgot about
so
that.
So that's always pretty a good one, because it's pretty ironic, you know, a bodybuilder running a pizza shop, you know. And I get a lot of customers, like, obviously they can tell I'm into bodybuilding, so they're, like, just really baffled, you know, that I'm, like, working at this pizza place. And it's just pretty funny sometimes, because I get a lot of questions, and they're, like, buying pizza, and they're like, so how do you get in, like, shape, you know? And they're, like, buying pizza, and I'm like, you idiot, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
You smack that pizza out of your hand, but then I got to sell pizza, you know?
That's awesome. I love it. Oh, that's great.
But, yeah, other than that, not really sure.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I did know that, but
yeah,
I still find it funny. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Excellent. So anything else you want to kind of comment, talk about, either one of you? Nate, do you have anything else you want to share?
Not really. I just probably a special thanks to you guys, you know, for having me on. It's awesome. And I'm glad you guys are doing what you're doing. It's really cool, especially for, you know, I have a lot of this stuff going on. And anything that's, like, helps bodybuilding, bikini, physique stuff, is really cool, because I'm, like, a big fan of it, you know, so, and I think there needs to be more of that. And then obviously special thanks to Andrew Berry, my coach. Mm-hmm. Special thanks to Dylan over at DB Gear. He's been helping me out with some stuff. And special thanks to Lyft. They always, VT, that's the new gym, obviously, in Williston. They've been really awesome and supportive with, like, everything I'm doing. And just all my fans, like, I don't think I'm anything special, but I get a lot of, like, really cool, like, Facebook stuff, and people are, like, motivated by what I'm doing, and, like, that stuff, that little stuff, like, really helps. And I always try to get back to people when they message me, and I never want to be that guy that's, like, thinks I'm, like, anything special, you know. Like, I always want to be, like, grounded, and, you know what I mean, like, I think I'm, like, pretty, like, it's pretty cool that I'm, like, gifted, and, like, people can actually, like, you know, be, like, whatever, you know, cool.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
And, like, it's pretty cool stuff, I guess. And I never really just want to be, like, that asshole, whatever, that's, like, I'm too good for you or whatever. And I always want to, like, stay humble and grounded, you know.
Well,
you do an amazing job. Yeah,
and we think you're amazing too. So,
you guys have been awesome.
Yeah, we really support you and really want to see you do well, and we can't wait to see you win. We'll just say that. We'll say we just can't wait to see you win. So, we're like, we know him. I know that guy.
I know that guy.
I got a pizza from him. Excellent. So we always end. Jenna, could you have anything before we start?
Oh, can I actually get one more special thanks?
Of course.
Actually, Travis Hart, right? The chiropractor. Yeah, I just want to give a special thanks to him. He got me in this morning on a Sunday at, like, 9:30, which is really cool for a chiropractor to do, and really helped me out with some adjustments, because I had some lower back pain. So that was really nice of him.
Yeah, That is really cool. Danica, do you have anything else?
I don't.
Awesome. So we normally end this, Nate, with one positive thing. So you can say one positive thing or one thing you're thankful for, besides obviously the people who support you and everything, but what's one thing that you're thankful for, and it can be in life?
I guess I'm just, like, thankful that I'm, like, healthy and don't have anything, like, crazy going on. And I work in a hospital, actually. It's pretty weird. My pizza shop's in a hospital. But
That's even more ironic.
But I see a lot of people that are, like, sick and suffering, and I'm just, like, really grateful that's, like, my family isn't going through anything like that or anyone close, or, like, you know, I don't have cancer. I'm healthy, like, let alone bodybuilding, I can just, like, function normally and, like, work normally, and I'm, like, in a healthy state, especially, like, mentally, whatever, you know, anything. I'm just very, like, blessed, you know, not even bodybuilding, just to be able to do, like, normal stuff every day in and out, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. Danica?
Honestly, I think my positive is getting to know Nate.
Yeah.
Because every time I see him, he, you know how some people say, how are you? And they, like, don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, they just, it's like surface conversation, mm-hmm. but he like genuinely wants to know how I am. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Like, I think that it's such a good quality to have in a person. And from like the first time I met him, I knew like he's going to be something special, number one, but he also is just a good hearted soul.
Yeah.
So it's awesome to have people make connections in life through the sport like this. And yeah, that's my positive.
That's a great one. Mine is I didn't give birth again. No, I'm just kidding.
Yay! You can't hear the podcast without your water freaking.
Two in a row. Still intact.
Blame thoughts, huh?
So, Nate, where can people follow you on your social medias?
Just on Instagram and Facebook, and just Nate Spear. Same with Instagram, just Nate Spear, one word. And yeah, I always try to put out some good content, not overly, but, you know, when I'm getting ready for a show, just keep everyone in the loop where I'm at, everything like that, so.
Yeah, and
anyone, feel free to message me, too. I'm always willing to get back to people, you know what I mean? If you have any questions, anything, if you need any help, I'm always willing to help out, so.
Awesome. And you're 7 weeks out right now, right?
Yep, seven weeks.
So maybe we can get them on, like, 2 or 3 weeks out.
Yeah, a little check-in, see how you're doing.
For sure.
Especially Danica might have to do it on her own, so.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I think of where I'm going to be at 7 weeks from now, and I hope that my water doesn't break.
Oh, that's true. You're only 10 weeks behind.
So we're both 7 weeks out.
Yes. Excellent. You can reach us at championchat360@gmail.com. You can reach us on our Instagram, same, championchat360. You can reach us both at our own personal list, all of it below. We'll put D&B belt in there, too. Is that what it is, D&B? Yeah. We'll put the belt stuff in there because they've got some great belts, and they're a local company. So might as well help the people that help us, right? So thank you, Nate, so much for coming on. It was a great podcast, and we got to laugh, we got to learn, and we really just want you to know that we got your back, big guy. We'll both be there behind pushing to help. But
that's,
we got
that's right.
So thank you for coming on. We'll talk to you another time. Bye, guys.
Bye.